Welcome to the Marlton Assembly of God Sermon Podcast. Our church is focused on developing fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. We hope you are blessed by this message.
So that's Tiger Woods, who just won the Masters 2 months ago. If you know his story, he made a lot of bad life decisions, lost his wife, a lot of money and endorsements, and he had some back surgeries and a lot of, I guess, some issues with his knees. I'm not really sure. And he was kind of down. And America loves an underdog story, or people who kind of mess up and then turn their lives around. I'm not talking about sports this morning, but I am talking about the greatest comeback of all time. It's the return of Jesus Christ, our blessed hope, who's going to come back. Jesus Christ is going to come back. One time he came to earth. He was born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, and then the Bible says he died on the cross, and then he went into the grave, and after 3 days he rose again, and then he's in heaven today, but the Bible says that he is going to come back. Now, if you are trailing with us, over the last 31 weeks, we've preached through the Bible, the major topics. So we started in Genesis, and we went all the way to the book of Revelation, and then it was on my heart to preach a four-week sermon series called Eternity. So today we kick off what is to come. The definition of eternity is this. And by the way, all my sermon notes are on the app. Oftentimes I see people taking pictures of verses or whatever. If you want to follow along, my sermon notes or any guest speaker, their notes are in the app if you miss a scripture or whatever. But the definition of eternity is this: infinite or unending time. Most people believe in eternal life. Most people believe that there's an afterlife. There's a small amount of people that believe when you die, you just go into the grave or into the dirt. But we know what the Bible says, there is eternal life, and it's a great hope. You don't have to be fearful. You don't have to be scared of dying. You can actually look forward to it with joy in your heart. But the Bible also says that God has put eternity in our hearts. That's why it's interesting to us. What will take place? Ecclesiastes 3, verse 11. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart. Yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to time, from time. But God has told us in the scriptures what is to come. Now, most people, because their eyes are on themselves, if we say eternity, most people are thinking, okay, when I die, what is going to happen to me? And by the way, most people are fearful of dying, but I want to just slow it down again. You don't have to be fearful. You don't have to go to hell. Hell was not designed for any human being, but you can go to heaven and be with God forever. So the Bible talks about the future, but we must ask ourselves this question. Where did dying, or this whole idea of death, originate from? Where did it come from? The dying. Why do people die? You know, shouldn't we all just live with joy and be happy and have no problems, no disease, and no violence? Do you know, ladies and gentlemen, that's the way the earth used to be. In the Garden of Eden, there was no violence, no adultery, no lying, no immorality. There was no cheating. The Bible says that Adam and Eve were in perfect relationship with God. They were naked and not ashamed. There was no sin, and everything was perfect in heaven. But in Genesis chapter 3, the fall of man, and by the way, this is true, Satan comes and he distorts the truth and he distorts the afterlife. Watch. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden. And you must not touch it, or you will," what? "Die." And what does Satan do? He says, "You will not certainly die." Is that the last part? He always confuses truth. But death came in Genesis chapter 3. Adam and Eve made a choice to disobey the Lord. They ate from the apple or the fruit, that was the forbidden fruit, and that's when death came into the world. So sin came in when they were tempted, and sin, when it's full-blown, will lead to death and separation from God. Now, Satan loves to confuse this. He loves to challenge this, and that's what he's been doing from the beginning, and he lies to people all the time. He lies to you in school about evolution. He lies to you about morality and what is true and what's right and pure and good. And, of course, he's going to lie to you about the future. But you can have all the education that you need from the Scripture. So this past week on Thursday, my wife and I were in our backyard, and I see a gentleman, young guy, 20 years old. He looks over our fence like this. He kind of does one of these knocks, these invisible knocks. He goes, can I sell you something? He's a young guy, like 20, so I appreciated his hustle. He goes, hey, my company or whatever, I'm a salesman, and we want to come and spray the bugs or whatever around the houses. We have trucks in the neighborhood. I'm like, I don't see any trucks, but I'm listening to the young guy. He goes, if you act now, for $399, we'll spray your house. He's telling me about all the parts of my house, and then we'll do four follow-up ones for $199. Oh, okay. So I'm looking at my wife. She's like, I said, hey, could you just do me a favor? It sounds like there's some good going on. He's talking to all the neighbors, whatever is doing it. I said, could you just put it on email? Just email me so like I can think about it. You know, I can think about it. And so I was in work on Friday. I didn't get any emails. I didn't even think about it. Then on Saturday, we get a knock on the door, and I'm in the garage, and there's a little window in the garage. I could see somebody, so I'm trying to tell Miriam, don't answer the door, don't answer the door. And she didn't hear me, and she answered the door. Hey, the guy with the bugs is here again, the exterminator guy, the young kid, you know. And I said, you know, it's a little bit out of our price range. We don't need all of that. He goes, hey, if you act now, we're going to drop that price down to $200. And then each one of them, he started telling me, I said, you know, honestly, that's still a tough price point. He kind of looks around. He goes, listen, I can only do this for two people. If you act now, there'll be no initial fee. And I felt like I was getting hustled. I feel like I'm back up in North Jersey. Like, what's going on here? Have you ever been hustled? Or you take it one step further, you ever been lied to? Has anyone ever lied to you and you felt like they're lying to you? You can just feel it. That's what happened in the Garden of Eden. Satan was doing the hustle. He says, listen, you can eat it and you won't die. And they actually believed the lie. Ladies and gentlemen, you cannot believe the lie about eternal life. We're talking about heaven and hell forever. You need to know the truth. You need to be ready. But what happened was they sinned against God. They fell. The curse came on. So ladies, this is why you have pains during childbearing. Men, this is why you have to get up. And ladies, you have to get up tomorrow and go to work by the sweat of your brow. I have like little mulch beds around my house. I put it down like 2 weeks ago. Now all of a sudden weeds are starting to come up from there. You say, why do weeds come up? Why do I have to go? Why poison ivy? Why are there thorns? That's all because of the curse that's on the ground. The world is under a curse. But Jesus Christ loves you. He loves the world, and he wants to come and release you from the curse of death, sin in the grave. But sin, and this is why we have to talk about sin, when sin is full-blown, it leads to death. And so we have death today because people have sinned against God. But there is hope. There's always hope against sin, death, and hell. When Jesus came to earth, in John chapter 11, verse 25, he addressed eternal life. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing me will never die. And he says, do you believe this? He goes, when you die, you get to go to be with me in heaven. Jesus said this, for God so loved the world, I'm slowing this down so you know, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him would not perish and go to hell, but would have eternal life. So when we die, there's only one of two places to go. It's either heaven or hell, but Jesus comes and gives us life. And 23 people in our church in the last certain amounts of time have given their life to Jesus, and they affirmed their faith by being water baptized this past Wednesday. Oh, it was glorious. Wednesday night was glorious. Look at these. Hold on one second. I was sitting right there, and all the water baptism cannons, Pastor Andy had them all in the blue shirts. It was great. And we took a picture, and they were all worshiping, saying, Lord Jesus, thank you for giving me salvation. I'm no longer under the curse. You've given me relief. You've given me forgiveness of sins, and I worship and I praise you. Watch people coming out of the water baptism tank. That's Carmi. That's Pastor Jamel's kid. It was great. Look at that face of joy and happiness. Look at that joy. Isn't that wonderful? To see it on people's hearts. Look at, oh, wonderful. Praising God. What happens is salvation comes into people's hearts. You say, well, how do you have salvation? How do you get saved? And by the way, when a Christian uses that term, salvation and saved, it's the same word. Salvation, saved, just a shorter. How do you get saved? The Bible says salvation is found in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. You say, what are you talking about? The answer is this. It's found with Jesus Christ. If I have sin in my life and I'm under a curse and I'm going to die and go to hell, I need a savior. And by the way, every person in this room, I'm not mad, I'm not yelling, I'm not cursing at you, I'm not putting like a hex on you, I'm not jinxing you, but this is our truth. Every person in this room is born with sin. Every person who has sin deserves to die. Everybody who dies goes to hell without Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ takes away hell, he takes away death, he takes away sin, and gives us a new life that's found in Christ. You say, how can that happen? Because Jesus Christ went on the cross. He's the only one who never sinned. And so when he died on the cross, all of the sin that people have ever committed went on him. And his holiness and perfection and his sinlessness went off of him and onto anyone who believes on the Lord Jesus Christ. You could be holy because Jesus Christ makes you holy. There's no other hope for a human being. You say, well, John, I'm a good person. I would say, no, you're not. Every inclination of your heart is only evil all the time because you think about yourself. You say, well, John, I have a good heart. No, you're not. The heart is more wicked than anything else, and it deceives you. You think you're good, but you're not good. We need the gospel to tell us what our heart is, and the gospel shows us that we need a savior, and Jesus Christ comes and saves the day and brings you holiness and peace into your heart. How many of you in this room have asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart? Isn't the Lord wonderful? At the end of this message, you say, Pastor, I don't have peace. I have sin. I want to be relieved. I want tranquility. I need hope. You've come to the right place. Salvation is found in Jesus Christ. So let's talk. That's the introduction. Question number one. What happens to a follower of Christ when they die? What happens to a follower of Christ when they die? For example, my grandparents, my parents are still living. My mom suffers with Parkinson's, but my parents are still living. Their parents, or my grandparents on both sides, were Christians, followers of Christ, but they died already. What, you say, what happens to them or their soul? The Apostle Paul tells us in the book of Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, space bar. All right, here we go. For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, our body, we have a building from God, a new body, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling. Because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. For while we are in this tent, we groan and are burdened, because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Now the one who has fashioned us for this very purpose is God, who has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. When you receive salvation, the Holy Spirit comes inside of you, and you know you're saved because of the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God is going to get you ready for heaven, and all of a sudden, the things of this world are not going to satisfy because God is getting you ready for heaven. If things aren't going your way, if you're not satisfied with life, you say, this world's crazy. You may be in a good spot. God may be giving you dissatisfaction for this world because he's getting you ready for eternal life. God is a good God. Watch this. Therefore, we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. But watch this. For we live by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So here's the answer to the question. What happens to a follower of Jesus when they die? You may have heard it like this at a funeral. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That's what verse 8 is talking about. So if somebody like my grandparents who were followers of Jesus, they were Christians, when they die, their body is prepared for burial, goes into the grave, but the moment that they died, their spirit goes immediately up to heaven. Amen. Does everyone understand that, right? This is like a quick teaching. That's my mom that's here to support me. I appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you, Mom. I'm not even sure I want to do this. Thank you. Anyway, so when a Christian dies, what happens is their soul, their body goes to the grave, and their spirit immediately goes to heaven. So you don't have to wonder. You don't have to wonder if you die, what's going to happen to you. Matter of fact, you should actually be kind of excited about it. I have no guarantees in this world, but if I die, I know I'm going to be in the presence of the Lord. The moment that I die. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I am not angry, upset. But if you don't know if you would die and either go to heaven or hell, you should know by the end of this message. And if you don't know, I would just drive very slow going home. I'll put the blinkers on. I would wrap the car with bubble wrap. I would wear a helmet. I would put all the seatbelts on and say, Lord, I'm not sure. Because what I'm talking to you about is in the Bible is for all of eternity. Amen. There's no in-between place. You can't go like to hell for a couple days and you say, oh, I'm going to hang out with my friends and I'll go. Nope. Once you're in one spot, you stay there for eternity. So this is serious, but full of joy. I'm telling you right now, if I would die today, I know without a shadow of a doubt, the Spirit of God lives inside of me. I've given my life to Jesus Christ. I've turned from my sin, and I'm living for God. I know that if I would die today, I would be with the Lord forever. Amen. As a believer, you can have that confidence today. You don't have to wonder. Most people in America, they're afraid to die. And I'll tell you why this is a big deal. Because you just say, well, I'm just going to go into the grave. I'm just going to go into the dirt. That's not true. It's heaven or hell. But once you get to heaven, watch what verse 9 says. So we make it our goal to please him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it. If you're saved, you should be pleasing the Lord. Or maybe you're not really saved. On earth, we glorify him, we please him, we lift him up. Watch verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive what is due us for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. Listen, in 2 weeks, I'm going to talk to you about there's two seats. For the Christian, for the follower of Jesus, we will appear before the judgment seat of Christ. For the sinner, you will appear before the great white throne judgment. After you are in the presence of Jesus Christ and you know you're guilty, you will be sent to eternal flames forever and ever and ever. Now, for the believer, this could be a nervousness if you say, well, I just come to church. I'm a Christian. I'm not Muslim. I believe Jesus. I asked him in my heart. I raised his hand. And you say, well, listen, I don't want to live for God or whatever, but I'm just going to get in. I guess if you called on the name of the Lord, you get in, but you got in barely. You smell like hell. You smell like the flames, and you got in barely. But we will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And at that point, each person will be given rewards based on how you live down here. You say, well, I just kind of came to church once in a while, didn't really serve, didn't tithe, didn't bless, did nothing. Now, the opposite's true. You say, Lord, I'm just a humble person. I'm not a preacher. I'm not special. But, Lord, here's my life. Here's my heart. Lord, whatever you want me to do, Lord God, I will serve you. I'll bless you. The Lord is the rewarder of people. He sees what you do in public and in private. You say, Lord, I'm going to extend my missions faith promise by $10. You put it on my heart. I'm going to give more. The Lord's taking notice of that. You know, you say, you know, I'm going to work in the nursery. By the way, if you work in the nursery, you get double the rewards, everybody. You get double the rewards. You know, like there are some people say, well, how many pastors do you have on staff with me? You know what Jen and I tell people? I said, I have about 140 people on staff. But 135 don't come to church here. They're called missionaries. They leave the greatest country in the world, and they go in obscurity, and they serve Jesus Christ. And nobody is kind of fanfaring them, but the Lord Jesus Christ is taking note. He's seeing what people are doing. And you don't think in the end times that God is going to reward our missionaries? The answer is absolutely yes. So young people, you're young. You say, I have a lot of time. No, you don't. You have a little amount of time. Live your life today for the Lord Jesus Christ and store up treasures in heaven. So when you stand before Jesus and there's fire in his eyes, you'll want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Today, if you go out to eat and you see someone hurting, a single mom, whatever, pay for them. The Lord will reward you one day. You say, well, I'm not getting anything out of it. Don't think about just today. Think about eternity. You say, my neighbors, they don't know Jesus. They're never going to. No. Say, Lord, I don't care if people make fun of me. I want to put rewards in heaven. I want to do your work. We need to focus on eternity and not just the here and now. Some people are going to be embarrassed. You're going to be embarrassed when you come before the Lord. I want you to be ready. I want you to be prepared. I want you to store up treasures on earth, on heaven. God will bless you for your efforts. So what happens to a follower of Christ when they die? Immediately their souls go up to heaven. Question number two, is there any other way to go to heaven? The answer is no and yes. Let me explain. No, Jesus is the only way to heaven. The Bible says, unless a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. You say, why? It seems so narrowing. In our culture, it seems judgmental. It's absolutely not. It's the opposite. Jesus extended out his arms and said, whoever will call on my name, I'll save you. He opens up a broad way of hope, but because people want to do what they want to do, there becomes no hope for them. So Jesus is the only way to heaven. Let me say that. He's the only way. But there's another way for us to go to heaven. And it is called the rapture of the church. It is this being caught up together with the Lord in the air for all of eternity. And I don't know when this is going to happen. All I'm telling you is Jesus is coming back, and he's coming back soon. He can come back right now. He can come back to dinner service. He can come back tonight. He can come back tomorrow. We need to get ourselves ready. So really, if you died today, if you're a Christian, you go to heaven. But if Jesus comes back today, you also get to go to heaven. So pick and choose. Either way, you get to go to heaven. Not a bad deal. So let's talk about this rapture of the church. Jesus, when he was ascending up to heaven, he said that the angel said he was going to do that. Watch this, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. On this Pentecost Sunday, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you'll be my witness in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria, the ends of the earth. God will empower Christian people with his spirit to do God's work. The only reason why God leaves a Christian down here is to do his work. You cannot do it in your own ability, your own strength. The Holy Spirit will come upon you and give you the ability to do what you cannot do in your own ability. That's what it means to be a spirit-filled believer. After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. This is Jesus. Watch this. This is Jesus, the life of Jesus. Jesus was born of a virgin as a baby, right? He lived a sinless life. He died on the cross. After they put on the cross on Good Friday, they put him in the grave. Then on Easter or Resurrection Sunday, he rose again from the grave. He showed himself to many people. People looked at him. He really did physically rise from the grave. Doubting Thomas touched his hands. The apostles saw him. And then the Bible says he ascended up to heaven. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? The same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven, watch this, he will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. So Jesus ascended up to heaven, and the Bible says that he is going to descend, and he is coming to gather people who are ready for him in his church. That is our hope. That is our blessed hope. Ladies and gentlemen, I preach emphatically because that's our only hope. If Jesus doesn't come back, we're all screwed. We're all in trouble. You're dead meat. For all eternity, you're in trouble. You think you got it all worked out? You're in trouble. Our hope is that Jesus Christ, he's still got his handle on the throttle of this universe. He still is with us. We're living by faith and not by sight. And he's coming back. And his church is looking forward to his soon return. Could you imagine if Jesus doesn't come back? Could you imagine? Think for a moment if Jesus lied to you. This would be the first time he's ever lied to you. He said he died on the cross for you. He's given you forgiveness of sins. He's given you hope. But all of a sudden, no, don't want to come get those people, especially the people at Marlton Assembly of God. They're on their own. You're on your own, suckers. Nope. Jesus is ready. He's listening to the Father. Only the Father knows when Jesus is coming back. The birth pangs are happening. It's almost the end of time. And Jesus, is it ready? Are we ready? Not yet, son. The Father, he's ready. I want to go get my children. I want to go get my children. It's called the return of Christ. It's the rapture of the church. This idea of getting caught up together with the Lord in the air. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven. Let me use my voice to emphasize. With a loud command. And with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet call of God. I play a mean trumpet. I'm available for birthday parties and bar mitzvahs, my friends. And with the trumpet call of God and the dead in Christ will rise first. You say, what do you mean? Grandma Wagner, Grandma Colas, they're already dead. They've been dead for 30 years. They're decomposed. The Bible says the dead in Christ will rise first. In a moment, God is going to reassemble all the people in Christ, all the Christians who have died before us. In a moment, he's going to reassemble and give them a brand new body. You say, what about burn victims? What about cremation? Hey, listen, I'm not here to tell you how it's all being done. All I know is there's a real big God that can do this in 1 second. And the Bible says the dead in Christ, they're going to rise first. So God's going to reassemble however he's going to do with these heavenly bodies. And then the Bible goes on to say, and after that, let's just say this happens tonight. We who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And we will be with the Lord forever. There's going to be this great reunion, reunited, and it feels so right. It's going to happen right there in a moment, and we will be with the Lord forever. Could you imagine this? Could you imagine not being ready? Jesus Christ, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, like a thief of the night, he's going to come for those that are ready, and we're going to get caught up together. We're going to be reunited with those people that are dead in Christ. God's going to reassemble. You say, how can God do that? You ever thought about reading the first pages of the Bible? God created the heavens and the earth with his words. If he could do all of that, he could easily do all of that. Amen. Our God is bigger than you think he is. He's more powerful than you think he is. And this is what will happen, and we'll be with the Lord forever and ever and ever. So there's actually two ways to get to heaven. Die a natural death or a death as we know it, and the body stays and the spirit goes to heaven, or if it's Jesus Christ coming back. Well, with that information, what should we do today? Number one, I think we really need to evaluate ourselves if we really are a Christian. Are you really a follower of Jesus Christ? I'm not trying to be confrontational, but if only, you say, why can't other people go to heaven? Let me explain it like this. Heaven is perfect and holy. That's where God is. That's where the command central is. That's where Jesus is. That's where his angels are. Everything's decent in order. earth is God's footstool. If we would take our sin or our carcass and we would go to heaven, it would ruin heaven. God is holy. He's perfect. You can't take a human being in their sinful condition and just go to heaven. Some of you are so locked in the sin and you think you're going to die, you can't. God can't. He's too good to you. He tells you the truth. You can't take sinful people and bring them to heaven. What can happen, and this is what God's plan is, God brings heaven down through the person of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus washes away all of our sin and covers us. And in God's eyes, we look to be holy, and that gives us access to heaven. So even though you're dealing with the pain or the past or the consequences or whatever, you think about your own sin, in God's eyes, as hard as this is to understand, God has made you perfect and holy in his eyes. And that's what gets you into heaven. But if you're not sure you're a Christian, I think you should evaluate. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. Watch this. Examine yourself to see whether you're in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless, of course, you fail the test. Maybe he's not in you. I see a lot of Christians on radio and TV. I'm like, I don't know if you're really a Christian. By the way you're acting, I can't tell if you're a Christian. We don't hate people. We don't hate homosexuals. We're not against people. We're for people. We love people. We even are taught by God to love our enemies. But if I don't have the Spirit of Christ in me, shouldn't I evaluate that today? So if you knew you were going to die tonight and you don't have the Spirit of God that lives inside of you, shouldn't you at least evaluate yourself? Young people, let me just tell you this. I grew up in a Christian home. You say, well, you know, I go to church. Church doesn't get you in. Your mom and dad don't get you in. But a living, real relationship with Jesus Christ, that's what gets you in. Moms and dads, listen to me. Youth workers, listen to me. This is what will happen to your family. At times, the Holy Spirit will use a message like this, youth ministry, whatever, and there'll usually be an emotional reaction. It happens. It happened last week. Young people start crying. Reality sits in. I don't know. What about me? I've just been coming to church. All of a sudden, the Holy Spirit like kind of hits them, and there's an emotion. Ladies and gentlemen, moms and dads, let your kids grapple with what they believe and if they're really a believer or not. Don't, if they're at the altar or crying, they're asking questions for us, I don't know if I'm saved. You should say, well, you need to find out if you're saved. Don't whisk them to the Cracker Barrel and say, oh, we got this. There's a precious moment right there, and everyone in our family, they need to know if they're saved or not. So don't just like whisk over when someone's wrestling the details of life, they're trying to figure it out. Let them figure it out. Step back. Don't tell somebody they're saved. Let them tell you they're saved. They should, I ask Jesus into my heart. The Spirit of God is changing me. Fruits are being produced in me. I feel like the Lord is convicting me. I sit with people all the time, the things I used to do, I had no problem doing them. All of a sudden, Christ comes in. All of a sudden, like, I'm feeling bad for some stuff. Any of that ever happened to you before? You're feeling convicted, like, I never even thought about that. Just started cursing. I was always cursing. I was always cursing and lying. I asked Christ to come in, and all of a sudden, I felt bad cursing. All of a sudden, I felt bad lying. Nudity bothered me. Sleeping around bothered me. What is that? It's the Holy Spirit moving our life. If nothing bothers you, I can almost guarantee you're not saved. I'm not here to tell you if you're saved or not. Even if you raise your hand, I don't know what's really going on. You should tell me you're saved. You say, Pastor, I've asked Jesus into my heart, and I want to live for him with all of my heart. Now you're saved. I don't let people have cheap salvations. I don't know if you're really saved. You tell me. You ask Jesus into my heart. You should evaluate your own self if you're really a born-again believer. Number two, not just evaluate, but anticipate the Lord's return. Do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. And by the way, every time we sin, we deserve to go to hell. Do you know that? Sin must be punished. So every time we sin, we deserve hell. But God in his goodness takes the restraint off because of the blood of Jesus. It satisfies the judgment. So the Lord in his goodness and his grace, He gives us his blood that covers over our sin. But he doesn't, time, you say, Pastor, my life's not right with God. Why is God giving us time? He's patient with you. Verse 10, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. If you're here today and you hear my voice, your life's not right with God. You say, why isn't Jesus coming back yet? You don't want him to come back yet until you get right with God. He's given you patience. He's given you a call. He's calling your name. The only reason why he is waiting is so that you will go to heaven with him. He wants you to be with him forever. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. Anyone had a car broken into, a house broken into? I hate that. I've had 3 cars stolen from me. Thieves always come when you're not looking, when you're not prepared, when the dark, there's a street light that goes out, dark, there's someone looking, boom. They never come up to me and say, can I have the keys of your car so I can steal it? Doesn't happen. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, quick. The heavens will disappear with a roar, the elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything will done in it will be laid bare. Watch this. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed is coming. You say, Pastor, you don't get in if you're living together? You don't get in if you're sleeping together? You don't. I'm not saying that. Don't go read the Bible. People email me all the time. They get up in our service and like, do you think I really want to give you that bad news? I'm just telling you, that's the truth. You say, John, I'm a habitual liar. You don't get in? Nope. You must turn from your sin and walk into the truth in Jesus' name. So the Lord is trying to bring you to repentance. I believe God's trying to get your attention. He wants you to have real salvation so you could have a real heaven that's found in Christ. So we must anticipate. We must be ready. Verse 14 and 15, really quickly. So then, dear friends, since you're looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. If you don't have peace with God, ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins, and the peace of God will transcend your heart and mind as found in Christ. If you can't sleep at night, you don't have peace. You're popping pills, you don't have peace. You have suicidal thoughts, you don't have peace. Run to Jesus. What I found is not only does Jesus save you, but he heals you. Your dad left you. You say, man, I'm just mad. I'm angry. Let Jesus heal you. Let him be the father in your life. Someone hurt you, broke you down, said things they shouldn't have said to you. You're beaten down as a human being. You don't have a good explanation about yourself. Let Jesus heal you and make you a child of the living God. Jesus Christ is our Savior. He's our healer, but he's also coming back again. You're here in this place. He loves you. He cares about you. So he's giving you patience. He's helping you. He's walking you through this. I want to encourage you. Anticipate Jesus coming back. Say this to yourself. If Jesus comes back tonight, are you ready? There's a song by Crystal Lewis. You might have heard it. It's like 10, 15 years old. It goes like this. People get ready, Jesus is coming, soon we'll be going home. People get ready, Jesus is coming to take the world his own. Let me sing it again. People get ready, Jesus is coming, soon we'll be going home. People get ready, Jesus is coming to take his back his own. If Jesus comes back, are we ready? Are we looking up to heaven and say, God, my help comes from you. I'm trusting in you, God. I need you in my life. Jesus is a good, he's a faithful high priest. He knows who are his. He knows who's playing games. He's coming back for his own. But people, we must get ready. We must not play games. We must not play church games. If you think I'm playing games, I'm not playing games. People get ready. Jesus is coming soon. We'll be going home. People get ready. Jesus is coming to take us back his own. Jesus, if you come back, am I ready for you? So he says, make every effort to be spotless and blameless. So it's an attitude more than anything else. Lord, here's my life. I want to live my life with a priority of not just being successful on earth, but of being obedient to you. And Lord, here I am. I'm open book, whatever you want me to do. I'll obey you. I don't care what the world says. I don't care what everyone else says. I don't care what my friends say. I don't care. I'm just going to live for you, Jesus. Because your voice is more important. Me being in eternity is more important when some knucklehead around me says, I'm going to serve Jesus Christ. And I think God is calling us as a church. He's calling you to be ready for the trumpet call of God. The dead in Christ will be raised first. And then we'll be with the Lord forever. Finally, evaluate, anticipate. And in 2019, I think we need to communicate. Man, we don't hear good messages anymore about heaven and hell and the return of Christ. We hear a lot about, hey, Jesus wants to make you happy. And listen, after church, you stop by Kohl's because you get great coupons from Kohl's. Scratch off the thing, 50% off. And you're like, oh, man, it's too packed. I can't believe all the building. Oh, look at God did. He gave me a great parking spot really close. Isn't God good? All the time, God is good. And you're like, what? I'm talking about eternity. Some of you, I care more about your soul than you care about my soul. I care more about your soul than you care about your own soul. You're like, yeah, whatever. I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen, we must not play with eternity. Matter of fact, I don't even think this message is the most important thing. Really is what happens. Heaven comes into your heart today and you get to know the love and the grace of God. I'm not trying to be weird with you, but I'm not trying to scare the hell out of you. I'm not. This message is not just about hell. I'm not trying to scare you straight. Yeah, I used to watch these TV shows growing up. They go, you know what I'm talking about? Scared straight. The guys, they're all, the kids were crying. It doesn't work that way. It's the love of God that comes and penetrates your heart and makes you a follower of Jesus Christ. If not, you're just kind of just doing the right thing, but inside you're all messed up. Jesus comes on the inside. He touches our heart. But moms and dads, listen to me. We must communicate with our kids. It's not all about our kids. It's not all about us. It's not about America. It's about Jesus Christ and what he did and preparing your kids for the future. It has to be that our kids have a bright future in Christ and eternal life. I want my kids to serve the Lord. I want them to be ready for eternity. I want them to do whatever God calls. They don't need to do what I want them to do. They need to do what Jesus wants them to do. Amen? That's what we're talking about. But look, this is how we should handle the next day. James chapter 4, verse 13. We're almost done. Now listen, you who say tomorrow, today or tomorrow, we're going to go to this city or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why, you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You say, I'm young. Watch this. You're a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. You think you're all that? You're going to be gone. All of us. You ought to say, if it's the Lord's will, we will live, do this, or do that. Well, we all should say, whatever the Lord's will is, because Jesus is coming back, we have very little amount of time. We're going to walk humbly, patiently, and whatever God wants us to do, we're going to trust him and believe him because God's got it all worked out. When we're so boastful and we start saying, this is what I'm going to do, those plans never work out. But children, young people, listen, walk gently before the Lord. The Lord will lead you by his Spirit. He'll be with you. He'll provide all of your needs. Life is short. Don't think it's going to last forever. Do you know people used to live a long time? Methuselah lived 969 years. Noah lived 950 years. But because people were so violent and so sinful, God says, and this is found in Genesis chapter 6, verse 3, I'm chopping that down to 120 years. The average life expectancy in America is 87 years. If you actually get to 100 years, the weatherman will put a little candle thing on the news for you. But I'm 47 years old. If I was 14 or 15 years old, I say, even if I live to 90, I only have a small amount of time. Everyone in this room, you only have a small amount of time. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of hope. Today is the day that we call on the name of the Lord. People get ready. Jesus is coming. Soon we'll be going home. The Lord has a place prepared for us. Children are accepted by their parents. So my youngest daughter is home with us, obviously. My middle daughter, she's from Evangel. She came home 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago. When the kid's away, right? You put the vacuum cleaner in there. You fold towels in their bed, right? You jump around on their bed. But when the child comes home, you get your bed cleaned. You get it all ready. Jesus is getting ready. I have another daughter who's about to come home in a couple weeks. She's seriously dating a guy, so you need to seriously pray for me. But she has like a bedroom in the garage. So we have people over, so we just kind of store like the water bottles in there and the drinks in there. But as soon as she starts getting home, we're going to start getting, when she's ready, come home, I can tell you we're going to go into go mode. We're going to change those sheets. We're going to vacuum, change the light bulbs. Why? Because a child always has a place in the home. Amen. When you're a child of God, you have a place in his home forever. Amen? And you should have confidence of that. Lord, if something happens to me, to be absent from the body, present with the Lord. Would you stand with me in the Lord's presence? I preached a little long, but I did call all the restaurants, Chipotle and everybody. I just told them, can you wait till 12:30 to open? So you will get the best spots, I promise you. And guacamole is free today, and queso dip. Queso dip is free. No salt on the chips. Ladies and gentlemen, I just need to be honest with you about something. I really don't like preaching this way, but I did feel like I should. My time is very limited with you, and your time is very limited on this planet. Young people, God has a bright future for you. I hope you enjoy life, but if you don't think this goes quick, it just goes quick. It's not a threat, it just goes fast. And the Bible says we're going to stand before the Lord and give an account. I think many people in churches in America today, they think they may be going to heaven. I don't think they are. Could you imagine in this room half the people don't go to heaven after a message like this? All I want you to be is prepared. If you don't think this kind of does something for you, I'm telling you, the preacher the Bible says will be judged doubly as hard. So I feel like I have to bring the whole counsel, the whole truth, so you have the information you need to make a decision for your own soul. It's because I love you. I don't know how you can really love somebody and not tell them the truth. In our culture, we believe the lie. We believe the lie. Say, let people just be. I think in love, you must tell people the truth. I'm telling you the truth. You need to get ready. I think we need to live with the understanding of eternity. What will our decisions today matter in 100 years? Stupid, nonsensical stuff. But souls, missions, the word of God, inviting people to church, advancing God's kingdom, being devoted followers of Jesus, producing fruit, having a burden for what burdens God, that's the most important thing. You say, Pastor, I'm not working the church. You don't have to work in the church. You have a heart for God. Say, God, all that you want me to be. Now listen to me. In these last days, the Bible says there's going to be a lot of problems. Watch this. In the last days, Timothy, really quickly, put it up there. Mark this. There'll be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money. By the way, the god of this world is money. Boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving. It sounds like a TV show. Slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure, rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. The Bible says in the last days there's going to be terrible problems. Ladies and gentlemen, there's going to be problems. The Bible says if you get married, you're going to have problems. In life, you have problems. Some of us are trying to jump in and out of relationships. We're trying to make everything better. No, you have problems in life. And the Bible says it's going to be intense in the last days. If you feel it all around you, let it be known. There's going to be terrible problems in the last days. But there's another side. The Bible says in the last days, watch this, Acts chapter 2. In the last days, God said, I'm going to pour out my spirit on all people. Some people, hold on one second, Mom. Some people, your glass is half empty. Oh, this world stinks. You know, if it wasn't for the Republicans, if it wasn't for the Democrats, this, you people, oh, yeah. And you're just like, yeah, the world's such a bad place. You just sit around talking about how bad the world place is. It's negative. Or you could jump out of there, and I hope you do. You jump out of here. Say, yes, there's problems in the world. God said, Jesus said where it's going to be. We live in a sin-cursed world. People are sinners. This is what happens. You have problems. Sometimes you handle yourself not in the right way. But the Bible says in the last days, this is half glass full. The Bible says, I'll pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men, young people at Marlton Assembly of God, you're going to do great things for God. You are going to be in the White House and the Oval Office. You're going to be preachers. You're going to be missionaries. You're going to be church workers. You're going to be doctors and lawyers. You're going to help out the poor. They cannot defend themselves. With a little bit of weed, they get 4 or 5 years. Suburban kids, they get a slap on the wrist. Someone needs to defend the poor. And you step in, you say, I don't get paid as much as I would. And God says, I'm going to go and make a difference in people's world. God's going to do great things for your life. In Jesus' name. Young men, you're going to have dreams. Watch this. Next verse, even on my servants, and you get, it's a kind of like you're extending, maybe it's your stepkids, your stepparents, your aunts, your uncles, your people you work with, whatever, your extended people, your servants, both men and women, I'm gonna pour out my spirit in those days and they will prophesy, they will declare the goodness of God. So you could stay in this camp and be Debbie Downer, negative pants, whatever you are, killjoy, you just kind of like, you walk in the room, everyone's like, ugh. You know some of those people, you just don't want to be around them. Or you say, Lord, I know there's problems and I'm not a perfect person, but you said in the last days, you're going to pour out your spirit. And I want to be, Lord, not in that camp. I want to be on this camp. I want your Holy Spirit to fall fresh upon my life. I don't deserve it. I don't deserve salvation, but I need your Holy Spirit upon me and my children. And on this Pentecost Sunday, Lord, come, Holy Spirit, we need you today. It's not really about heaven and hell. You believe on the Lord Jesus, you're saved. But as you live and you walk this out, you say, Lord, until you come back, I want to be found faithful. I want to be found fruitful. I want to do your work. I want to do your way. And when you come back, Lord, there's no embarrassment. There's no shame. I'm ready for Jesus Christ to come back. That's the heart that God wants you to have. So you say, oh, Lord, pour out your spirit on my home. My family, I want to tell you, God wants to do more in your life than you could ever think or imagine. He wants to pour out his spirit. If you haven't received Christ, if you're not walking with him, the Spirit of God will fall upon your life, convict you, and let the Spirit of God come inside of you. But if you're already a believer, you say, oh God, a fresh touch of your Holy Spirit today on this Pentecost service. Lord, come and touch my heart. We're going to leave here in about 2 or 3 minutes, but I want to invite you, if you're asking God for a fresh touch of the Holy Spirit upon your life, I want you to invite you to come around this altar, lift up your hands to God. Please don't, no one leave. Please, I have to make an announcement before you leave. But right now, we're going to say, Lord, come, Holy Spirit. We need a fresh touch of your Spirit. If you're desiring that in your life, I invite you to come. Jump out of your chair. Say, Lord, I need you today. Come on, Will, let's lead us in that course up to the Lord. Say, God, we call on your name. Faithful is your name in all of your ways. God, we call on you.